We will call this meeting to the House Commerce Committee to order. We are, I believe, one person short of a quorum, but we'll go ahead and get started on this in the interest of time. Representative Albright, welcome to the committee. I will move House File 2193, and I think now we officially have a quorum. So before we get going with that, Representative Sanders, did you get a chance to look at the minutes from our last gathering?
Mr. Chair, I did, and I will move the minutes from April 8th.
Thank you, Representative Sanders. Representative Sanders moves the minutes. All those in favor of the adoption of those minutes, wait. First, I should ask any changes, comments, concerns, questions, or corrections? They appear to be correct. Thank you, Representative O'Driscoll. Those in favor of the adoption of the minutes, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Thank you, Representative Sanders and members. The minutes are approved. With that, House File 2193 being before us, Representative Albright, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members.
And I'm sorry, I should have made the motion that we are sending this to the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I want to thank you, first and foremost, for sharing part of your Friday morning with us. I know that the days are long and they are filled with a lot of things, so I appreciate your indulgence, not indulgence, but your participation in what Commissioner Peterson will describe to you today as a fairly historic event in the scope of workers' comp. Many years and many participants have provided their blood, sweat, and tears to this process. And so I think with that being said, I will turn it over to the commissioner to describe the provisions of the bill, and we have a couple of other testifiers in addition to that. So,
Commissioner Peterson, welcome back to the committee. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Ken Peterson. I'm the commissioner of the Department of Labor and Industry, and we regulate workers' compensation in our department. This bill is, as the Representative Albright pointed out, this bill is an important step in controlling medical costs in the future. And there are a lot of people that contribute to this agreement. From labor, from business, from insurers, and from the hospitals. However, I want to just specify two people, Representative Albright and Representative Mahoney.
Ooh, who are things were going well. Ooh. Really, Mahoney?
Albright?
By pushing the members of the Workers' Compensation Advisory Council and others to come to an agreement helped immensely, and both of them have been very committed to the work of the Advisory Council, and we appreciate that greatly. For those of you who don't understand it, the way we do workers' comp bills is we have an advisory council that's composed of management, representative management and labor, and two ex officio members of each house that are non-voting members of each house, and they deliberate, and we don't send bills up here on workers' comp unless they agree with them. And this bill is a result of long discussion with the insurers and hospitals. But the essential problem is the current law says you pay workers' comp hospital inpatient costs at 85% of usual and customary charges. See, that's more than most group health plans pay. And so the insurers didn't like that. On the other hand, the whole definition of usual and customary is subject to a lot of debate and discussion, so there's been a great deal of litigation over this in the department as well as in the workers' comp courts. And so the hospitals didn't like that. So there was a sweet spot, trying to figure out a way we can cut the administrative difficulties, cut the litigation, and at the same time cut the cost. And that's what this bill does, and the two sides have agreed to it. And I think they've gone a long way to correct both those problems. It uses the same system that Medicare uses. It's called MS-DRGs. DRG stands for Diagnostic Related Groups. Diagnostic Related, so what you do when you bill under a DRG system, you bill by the diagnosis. You don't bill on the amount you spend, that the provider spends. So that means that Medicare sets a diagnosis for a bad shoulder at a certain sum. And then what you do, you send in that just everyone, so you just bill for that sum. And sometimes a hospital will make on that, and sometimes it loses. But generally it works out, and the hospitals understand that. So that's how it works. Inpatient hospital costs account for about 25% of all workers' comp costs. This bill, or when we approve this bill, the sides agreed to look at the other 75% of costs, which are from ambulatory care centers and outpatient hospital costs. So we will be negotiating with those over the next year and hopefully coming to agreement with you all, coming to the session next year with a new agreement on that. However, if we don't, it calls for the department to do rulemaking, and as an incentive to make the parties come to an agreement, and those rules will go into effect on January 1st, 2017. I'll quickly go through, Mr. Chairman, the provisions, and if you have any questions, just please break in and ask me about them. The Section 2 is the first one that has a substance to it, and that's that effective at January 1st of 2016, we'll use Medicare MSRDG system in billing. You'll bill at a rate of 200% of Medicare. So that is, if Medicare says you get $15,000 for a bad shoulder, for repairing a bad shoulder, you'll get $30,000 in a work comp, so 200% billed. And the reason behind that is most people recognize Minnesota hospitals get paid probably too little under Medicare, and also the work comp does have additional costs that Medicare wouldn't have. The hospitals must bill the same way they bill for Medicare, and the bill must be submitted within the time frames required for Medicare at 6 months of either the date of service or the date the hospital learned the identity of the responsible workers' comp insurer. Subdivision 2 addresses catastrophic high-cost injuries. If the hospital charges exceed $175,000, payment will be for 75% of the hospital's usual and customary charge instead of DRG. These are the big ones, big burns, multiple amputations, that sort of thing. They account for 3% of the billings, or 3% of the number of billings, but 18% of the cost. So these are the ones where the real battles go on. So people will still be able to, there'll be disputes over this. We have no doubt. At the same time, there are very few of them, and we think it'll work ahead. Both sides agree that they understand what's going to happen here. Subdivision 3 covers critical access hospitals. Those are hospitals designated by Medicare, 25 hospital beds or less. Most of them are in rural areas, and they'll get paid 100% of their costs. And so they won't be affected by this at all. But most of those places do not do significant cases. Instead, they handle like broken arms, that sort of thing. The Subdivision 4, payments by DRG, the insurer can't require additional documentation unless they're over $175,000. They just have to pay the bill. They either pay the bill or deny the bill. They can't ask for additional information. Number 5 is that the prompt payment, this is very important to hospitals. When hospitals submit an electronic bill and a DRG applies, the workers' comp insurer must pay within 30 days or deny it. Post-payment audits are permitted if the bill was paid within 30 days and it included an outlier amount. This is some DRG cases end up costing more, substantially more. Like say a shoulder is supposed to cost $30,000, ends up costing $120. That's called an outlier, and there's a formula which I don't need to go into now. But in those cases, the hospitals can ask for an audit. Subdivision 7 calls for a study. This is important to both parties. We would do a study, analyze the impact these reforms due to the legislature by January 2018. And Subdivision 8 is rulemaking, and this allows the department to do expedited rulemaking in the event for two reasons. One would be expedited rulemaking for this bill if like Medicare makes some changes, which Medicare always does. We won't have time to come back to you folks. So we'd like to have the expedited rulemaking for that, and also expedited rulemaking in the event that the insurers and outpatient interests help the outpatient community are unable to come to an agreement. And that covers the various provisions of the bill, and I'll certainly take any questions you have.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Representative Sundin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the Commissioner, this is a lot of administrative changes and that type of thing, and obviously necessary if you're here to testify for them. But at the end of the day, I come out of the construction trades, and there's always a horror story about a back injury or a serious injury. We don't get paper cuts. We get broken bones and bad backs. So at the end of the day, how does this bill affect the worker in the field?
Mr. Commissioner.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Sundin, members, should not affect him or her very much at all. One very positive impact will be there'll be much less chance that they're going to be receiving bills. Sometimes your workers' comp victim may go to the hospital and their case incurs a couple $100,000 of bills, and they can't find out who to pay for it, then they'll be getting those bills. That won't happen under this. It should not happen. But under other, in other cases, I don't think it should affect them very much at all. It should, in the long run, it'll save money, and that's good for everybody.
Thank you, Commissioner. Representative Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Commissioner, and maybe Representative Albright. So I noticed under Subdivision 7 there's a study, and I don't see any dollar amounts appropriated for that. Is that going to be absorbed by the department, or how is that going to take place
Mr.
and be
Commissioner.
Funded?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, yes, it'll be absorbed by the department.
Thank you. Good questions. Why don't we, Representative Sanders, we've got three other people that want to testify. If you want to, whoever wants to go next, feel free. Thank you, Commissioner. Ms. Schaubach, welcome back to the committee. Apparently, you're going first.
I guess they said ladies first, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Jennifer Schaubach. I am the legislative director for the Minnesota AFL-CIO. I'm actually here for Brad Leto today. He was unable to be here because he had to go to a funeral. So I'm just here to say there's peace in the valley. Labor does support this bill. And to Representative Sundin's question, there are a lot of times where the worker ends up getting calls or bills and things like that. So that's it takes that out of the process. So we support this bill.
Thank you, Ms. Schaubach. Mr. Gerber.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Ben Gerber. I represent the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. I'd like to start off first by thanking the commissioner as well as the Minnesota Hospital Association, who I know is here today, as well as the Minnesota Insurance Federation. They put a lot of hard work into this. This has been over 10 years in the making. I'm glad to see that it's finally resolved. I think there's been a lot of disagreements over this, and finally, with the help of the commissioner and his staff, they finally came together and worked out a great agreement. So I want to thank them for that. I also want to thank the department and their staff. You don't always hear the chamber thanking the department, but they did a really great job, and it should be noted, too, that they lost one of their long-time one of their long-time attorneys there who was key and working on this, and someone else came in, Chris Liefeld, and stepped up and really made sure that this came through with Mr. Rakowski and the commissioner. So I want to thank them for all the hard work that they put into that as well. And then also to Representative Albright and to Representative Mahoney, put a lot of hard work into this too. They also were key in making sure that the parties came together and got this agreement. So we're very happy with this. This is a top five chamber priority. We've been working on this again for years, so we're happy to see it finally realized, and also to thank the AFL-CIO who came together. I think Representative Sundin asked a question about how this would help injured workers. Before this agreement actually came together, there was another bill that was heard that dealt with electronic billing, and one of the things that will help injured workers is there's a provision in there that allows them to get their electronic funds, so their funds deposited electronically. So one of the things that we knew that that labor wanted was that ability. So there is, and another bill moving alongside with this, some help for workers as well.
Thank you, Mr. Gerber. So 10 years and you come up with Albright and Mahoney, huh? All right. No, there are two favorite members. We're very happy about that. That's good. Mr. Hickey? It'd be better if Mahoney were actually here, but we wish he were back on the committee, and we'd love to have you, Representative Albright. Mr. Hickey, welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, members, Mike Hickey with the National Federation of Independent Business, and we wanted to give our support to this bill, too. As you know, we represent a large number of small businesses. This is a mandatory insurance. You have to pay it. Maybe you've never had an injury. You still have to pay it, and it's a cost that impacts everybody. And we're just very encouraged by the legislation and especially the hard work of Commissioner Peterson and the people on the advisory council. This is a small step, the first part of the bill. You know, we're really hoping that either through an agreement being reached on outpatient costs, which is the huge amount of the cost, inpatient is a small amount, that we can really make the same progress on outpatient, because that is where we'll really find some relief for all the business owners who struggle paying paying workers' comp premiums every year. And Commissioner Peterson, importantly, has the authority to do that in Subdivision 8 if the parties can't reach an agreement. So just appreciate his dedication to this and feel really hopeful that we're going to by next year, one way or another, are really going to achieve a big accomplishment in reining in workers' comp costs.
Thank you, Mr. Hickey. And to be serious for a minute, the thank you, as you said, to Commissioner Peterson and to everybody that was on the committee. And we do really like Representative Albright and Mahoney. If we didn't, we wouldn't be giving them a hard time. So we appreciate it. We always like peace in the valley. With that, Representative Sanders, did you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think most of it has been stated, but so I'll just briefly say thank you, Representative Albright, for bringing the bill forward. And I know the bill a couple years ago had a variety of increased benefits, and so I think this is a good bill that still protects workers and injured workers. But at the same time, I think this bill really does represent some real cost savings and really does help put us in the right direction. And I know that the commissioner has been working very hard on this as well, so I want to thank him and just encourage everyone to keep working, as Mr. Hickey brought up, to continue working on kind of a phase two here to work on this outpatient pricing system. But thank you.
Other questions, members? I have a question. We're normally in the basement. I don't know if it's the Environment Committee or whoever ripped apart the walls in here. Jeez, tough. We don't have that kind of thing happen in the basement. With that, anybody else in the audience want to speak for or against the bill? With that, Representative Albright, we'll give you the final word.
Members and Mr. Chair, I think that the testimony that you've heard compels me to leave my remarks short, and I know when to sell. So with that, I thank you for the audience.
Representative Albright, nice job. One of the finest closing speeches ever. With that, I will renew my motion that House File 2193 be re-referred to the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration. Those in favor of this motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign.
No.
Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Albright and members. Representative Bloom.
Thanks. Representative Albright, did you forget something this morning?
The process under which promised is still in the works, and I look forward to presenting that to you.
Thank you, Representative Albright.
Representative Loon, is there anything you want to share with the group?
Well, I was just informing Representative Albright the other day that the tradition is if your committee meets on a non-traditional meeting time, especially a Friday morning, treats are usually involved. But
second. Well. Since the bill hasn't actually left the committee yet, we could wait for you to go get pizza.
Hey, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Atkins.
Speaking of pizza, I'll pick up where Representative Albright should have gone. There is pizza at noon in 300 North for everybody who beat me in the basketball pool, the free basketball pool, in which is just about everybody in the body who participated. That's why I'm wearing black today. I'm in mourning. I usually do a whole lot better than this. But so come on up if you beat me. Come on up. What? Either way. I don't know. Who won? All I know is Rosenthal finished second because he gave me so much crud about my rules are different than the rules in his others. So Rosenthal finished second. We'll have to figure out who... Anybody else know? Here's all I know. If I was chair of this committee, mm-hmm. Pete Voyevich, who ran the darn thing, would know, and he'd be sitting next to me. John? Usually committee administrators know all this stuff.
It's a secret. Representative O'Driscoll.
Mr. Chair, just a parliamentary inquiry. Doesn't the guy who writes the rules usually end up winning the game? I'm not quite sure how this works, Representative.
I got to write new rules, I guess.
I think that is true, and Representative Albright, I think we're seeing here a long tradition in the House where senior members are helping out newer members with things like pizza. So with that, members, seeing no other questions, we are adjourned. Thank